Welcome to the Radio Bible Course. We're studying John chapter 7, and today we continue with verse 18, where Jesus said, "He who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood." That last clause, "there is no falsehood in him," I think was deliberately spoken to make a contrast to what comes next. Jesus wanted to expose the hypocrisy of these Jews. And he does it with a question in verse 19. "Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" Well, I'm sure those questions rocked them on their heels. Didn't Moses give them the law? Oh, they would all answer, "Indeed, Moses did," and the Jew boasted of that heritage. They considered themselves custodians of the revelation of God, and they knew that they were different from all the other people of the world because no other nation had a word from God except the people of Israel. These were the chosen people. They weren't any better than any other family of people, but God selected them for a special purpose. To these, he would reveal his word. To these, he sent the prophets with his revelation. They were guardians of it and brought it right down through history so that when Jesus arrived on the scene, the word of God was preserved. No Jew was ignorant of what the word of God was. And Jesus, when he spoke about the scriptures, referred to those 39 books of the Old Testament which you have in your Bible. We have that same Word of God. Now the Feast of Tabernacles, of which we are reading here in chapter 7, is related directly to the law. The law was supposed to be read every 7 years at that feast. I mean the whole law from Genesis through Deuteronomy. How do we know that? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 31 it says, "And Moses commanded them at the end of every 7 years, at the set time of the year of release, at the feast of booths or tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place which he shall choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, men and women and little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, and be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children, who have not known it, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you are going over the Jordan to possess." Now I suspect that this was the Sabbath year that John chapter 7 speaks of. If so, when Jesus came to this Feast of Tabernacles, the people had been hearing the law. Maybe that's why he arrived in the middle of the week rather than at the beginning. And perhaps it was during those first 3 or 4 days that the law was read to all the people. Now Jesus comes on the scene and asks, "Did not Moses give you the law?" With pride, they could all agree that he did. But then Jesus stings them with this remark, "Yet none of you keeps the law." None? Yes, none. We can make the same statement today concerning both the Jews and those Christians who claim that men should live by those Old Testament commandments. No one keeps the law perfectly. Paul's letter to the Romans reiterates what Jesus said here, beginning with chapter 2, verse 17, "But if you call yourself a Jew and rely upon the law and boast of your relation to God, you who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? For it is written, 'The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you.'" And there Paul quotes from Isaiah 52, verse 5. On another occasion, Jesus talked about the law, and he said this to the Jews. It's in Matthew 22, verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He said that after being asked, Master, which is the great commandment? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the other is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What was his point? Well, what did the Jews have in mind? They had the law taught to love your neighbor as yourself, to love God. And what were they thinking of? How can we kill Jesus? So his remark was most appropriate here. They were guilty of violating the commandments upon which the law depended. Now in verse 20, we get a response. But it doesn't come from those plotting his death. Verse 20 says, the people answered, and I see three groups of people here, at least three groups. My translation says, the people said. Yours may say the crowd said, and I think that's a better translation because the Greek word means a crowd. But here are three groups that I see. First of all, in verse 15, it was the Jewish authorities. In verse 20, it's the crowd. And then later in verse 25, it's a specific group of people, the people who lived in Jerusalem. Now in verse 20, you have the people who respond by saying, who's trying to kill you? They didn't know anything about the plot because these are pilgrims who had come from throughout Israel to observe this festival. And so naturally, they react to Jesus' charge that they were trying to kill him. And they suggest that perhaps he has a demon. In verse 29, he answered, I did only one deed, and you all marvel at it. Did Jesus do only one deed? No, that's not the point. He did many miracles, of course, but here he has in mind the one that set them on the path to kill him. He wants to remind them of when he was in Jerusalem before, what he did, and what they determined to do. He's referring, of course, to chapter 5, where we have the healing of the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda. When we were in Israel on our last trip, we went to the pool of Bethesda, and I was reminded of this miracle of Jesus at that pool. The man had been paralyzed for 38 years, the Bible tells us, and Jesus told him to get up and walk and take up the pallet on which he was lying. He did. And there was a reaction from the Jews. Why? Because he did it on the Sabbath day. Now, Jesus wants to talk about the Sabbath day, and he's going to give them a lesson about how they break the Sabbath, but don't realize they are. They break it in another way, and yet they accuse him of breaking the Sabbath when he really did not break that law. That lesson comes in verses 22 to 24. Listen to it again. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. Now, what's that mean? Circumcision originated at least 400 years before Moses, for God told Abraham to carry out circumcision. So Jesus said it belonged to the fathers. Then, when the law was given, circumcision was incorporated into the law. No Jewish parent would allow a Jewish boy to go uncircumcised. That has always been a mark of the Jew. Now, continuing in verse 23, Jesus said, if on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision, that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? What's he saying here? Well, his point is that the Jews, who are so particular about not doing any kind of activity that might be considered work on the Sabbath day, are criticizing him because he did something, but something that was good on the Sabbath day. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 3 specified that a male child should be circumcised on the eighth day. That was the law. Well, at times, the eighth day would fall on the Sabbath day, when activity was prohibited. And that's the point that Jesus wants to make. When the eighth day came to circumcise the baby in order to keep the law, if it fell on the Sabbath day, the Jew had to break the law to carry out circumcision. But tradition said that anything necessary to carry out circumcision was all right to do on the Sabbath day. Jesus here is reminding them of this. That tradition, by the way, came from what we call the Mishnah, that collection of rabbinical interpretations of the law, which people did follow in the day of Jesus. That was their tradition. So he asked this, why would you insist on performing circumcision on the Sabbath day, which deals with only one member of a child's body, one part of the child's body? You see, when the Jews looked at the human body, they divided it up into 248 members. They counted everything on a person's body. And they said, there are 248 parts. Now, in circumcision, you deal with only one member. And he said, why would you insist on dealing with one member of the male body on the Sabbath day when I healed all the members of a man's body on the Sabbath day? And you want to kill me because I did it? That's essentially what he is saying here. Now, the law never prohibited helping a person to keep him from dying on the Sabbath day. It never commanded someone to abstain from helping anybody on the Sabbath. And if someone's ox fell into a ditch on the Sabbath, what did the people do? They didn't leave the ox there, they pulled him out. So Jesus comes and he heals 248 parts of a man's body. The man is perfectly well. He had been paralyzed all those years. And they have the gall to say that he broke the law. The Jews had misunderstood a major truth, and it's this. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Before we leave the air, may I tell you about a course I have taught on the Louisiana State University campus for many years? It's called Understanding the New Testament. Several thousand people have taken the course, and scores have told me that it was this course that changed their thinking about the Bible. It gave them new understanding of God's Word. Well, understanding the New Testament can't be found in any tape cassette course or any book, but you can get it on cassette from the Radio Bible course. It's an exciting course, providing unmatched biblical understanding. This course emphasizes the distinction between the two religions of the Bible, Judaism and Christianity, and it'll challenge you to reconsider commonly held concepts about Christianity. Most people believe that the New Testament begins with Matthew chapter 1, but this course will teach you otherwise. You can get information about this and other courses by writing for our Teaching Tapes brochure. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.